Okay, well, let's go ahead and do it. I'll say it. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is the book of Vayikra, or Leviticus, chapter 21. And the first unique word in here, after it says, Ve'amar Yahuwah al Moshe, as and Yahuwah said unto Moshe, here come the words in red, speak. So, emor is the word there in Hebrew. Speak unto the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and say the following to them. None of you shall defile himself for the dead among his people. None of you shall defile himself for the dead. So what we're going to get here is a list of explicit and specific things that apply to the Kohanim. Not necessarily the other folks, but to the Kohanim in particular. And none of you will defile yourself for the dead except for his near kin, i.e. his mother, and for his father, and for his son, and for his daughter, and for his brother, and if his sister is a virgin, that would include her too, that's near unto him, that she, provided she had no husband, well, for those, or for her, he may defile himself. By defile himself, it means go to the grave and essentially deal with the body. He shall not defile himself, though, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. And here are some other things they're not to do. Not to make baldness upon their head, nor shall they shave off the corners of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be set apart. That word kadosh, plural, right? Kadoshim, unto their Elohim, and they shall not profane the name of their El. Because the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire, the bread of their Elohim, they do offer, and therefore they shall be set apart. Kadosh. They are not to take a woman who is not basically a virgin of the people. He is not to take a woman that is a harlot or is profaned, nor shall they take a woman that has been put away. Now, in this one, the translation in the English that I'm looking at, I don't really care for. It really says it's a garasha. So this is a woman who has, I guess the better translation would be divorcee. It is a woman who not only has been put away, but has a certificate. She would otherwise be allowed to remarry, but she is not able to be married to a Kohen, because he is holy unto his El. So they shall sanctify him, therefore, for he offers the bread of your Elohim. He shall be set apart unto you, for Ani Yahuwah, who sanctifies you, I am holy. Now, the daughter of any Kohen, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she has profaned her father. She shall be burnt with fire. And by the way, this is kind of interesting. One of the only places where you see this reference, it was in fact the thing that Judah suggested should happen when he thought Tamar had been out playing the harlot. And arguably, he wasn't a Kohen, but it's interesting that that was the thing that he understood. That was, of course, long too before the Torah had been written down. Now, the priest that is highest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil is poured, that one that is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not let the hair of his head go loose, nor rend his clothes, nor shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself. Now, notice, this is a difference. This is the high priest, the Kohen Gadol. He's not even to defile himself for his father or his mother. He shall not go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his El, for the consecration of the anointing oil of Yahuwah, his El, is upon him. And then he signs it, Ani Yahuwah. He shall take a wife in her virginity. A widow, or one who's divorced, or a profane woman, or a harlot, those he shall not take. But instead it says he is to take a virgin of his own people, shall he take to wife. And interestingly, this seems to be read by most of Rabbinic Judaism, and I won't argue this at all, that it's a requirement, it is a commandment. He is to take a wife. He shall not profane his seed among his people, for Ani Yahuwah, I am Yahuwah who sanctifies him. And then it continues and says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said the following. Speak to Aaron and say, whoever shall he be of your seed throughout his generations. So of the following generations, your seed, if he has a blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his El. So this is another one of those things in Torah, folks, that is not politically correct. Because the Creator writes the rules, he is perfectly able to say, those who will come near me to do what I have commanded to be done, they're going to meet my requirements. I don't care if they're not politically correct or not. So, if some man has a blemish, he is not to approach. If he's blind or lame, or he has anything that's maimed, or anything that's too long, or he's crook-backed, or a dwarf, or has an eye that's overspread, or is scabbed, or scurvy, or has his stones crushed, No man of the seed of Aaron, the priest, that has a blemish, any of these things, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire. He has a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his Elohim. Now, nevertheless, it says, he may eat the bread of Israel, both of the most holy and of the holy. So he is not prohibited from eating of the things that are the due of the Kohen, but he is not to go and do the offerings. Now, only he shall not go in under the veil, nor come nigh under the altar, because he has a blemish, that he not profane my holy places, for ani Yahuwah. I am Yod Hevavhe who sanctifies him. So, Moshe spoke unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all of the children of Israel. And then it says in the next chapter, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and here's what he said this time. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, that they separate themselves from the set-apart things of the B'nai Israel, which they hallow unto me, that they do not profane my set-apart name, Ani Yahuwah. Say to them, whosoever he be of all your seed throughout your generations that approaches unto these holy things, which the children of Israel hallow unto Yahuwah, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul, that nephesh, shall be cut off from before me, Ani Yahuwah. So he is not to do that. Whatever man of the seed of Aaron is a metzora, in other words, he has zara'at, or he has an issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he is again clean. And whosoever touches anyone that is unclean by the dead, or from whomsoever the flow of seed goes out, in other words, he has an emission from intercourse or whatever it might be, or if he touches any swarming thing, anything that might make him unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatever uncleanness he has, that soul that touches any such thing shall be unclean until evening. So this is something we've heard before. And he shall not eat of the holy things unless, and it sounds like until, he bathes his flesh in water. Now when the sun's down, then he shall be clean. Afterward, he may eat of the holy things, because that is his rightful due, that's his bread. That which dies of itself, or is torn of beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself with, Ani Yahuwah. So no roadkill for the Kohen. Therefore they shall keep my charge, lest they bear sin for it, and die therein, if they profane it, Ani Yahuwah. I am Yahuwah who sanctifies them. So understand, this is serious stuff. The Kohenim are held to a higher standard in so many of these respects. Now it says, there is to be no common man, in other words, one who is not of the line of Aaron, eat of the holy thing. The tenant of a priest or a hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. But if a priest buys some living soul, the purchase of his silver, he, that one, may eat of it. And such as are born in his house, they may eat of his bread. And if the priest's daughter is married to a common man, she shall not eat of that which is set apart from the holy thing. So she is his daughter, but once she marries outside of the line of the Kohanim, she can no longer eat of the holy things. Now there's an exception, though. It says, if a priest's daughter becomes a widow, or she is, in fact, becomes a gerasha, if she is set apart, and then she is put away, and she has the certificate of the Sefer Kertuta, the divorce get, then once that's happened, she has no child. Presuming if she has a child, this doesn't apply, and she is returned to her father's house like it was when she was in her youth. Well, then, again, she may eat of her father's bread, but no common man shall eat thereof. Now, if a man eats of these holy things by mistake, he didn't know it, and he ate of it by mistake, he shall put a fifth part. This is essentially the same requirement, right, if he stole something. And that's, I guess, the argument that you could make. Then he shall put the fifth part unto it, add a fifth to it, and give unto the priest this holy thing. They shall not profane the holy things of the B'nai Israel, which they set apart unto Yahuwah, and so cause them to bear the torahlessness, the iniquity that brings guilt, when they eat of their holy things, for I am Yahuwah who sanctifies them. And it says, Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe, and he said, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and say to all of the B'nai Israel, say to the following, whosoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that brings his offering, whether it's any of their vows, or any of their free will offerings, which are brought unto Yahuwah for a burnt offering, an olah, that you may be accepted, well, here you go, you shall offer a male without blemish of the beeves, or of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever has a blemish, don't bring that, for it shall not be accepted for you, or acceptable for you. Whosoever brings a sacrifice of shalamim, peace offerings unto Yahuwah, in fulfillment of a vow that was clearly uttered, or for a freewill offering of the herd, or of the flock, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There is to be no blemish therein. And notice this is for either sheep and or goats. Blind, broken, maimed, having a wen or scabbed or scurvy, don't offer those things unto Yahuwah, nor make an offering made by fire upon the altar unto Yahuwah. In other words, you can't bring the rejects from your flock and expect that to be an acceptable offering. Either a bull or a lamb that has anything too long or too short, you may offer that for a free will offering, but for a vow, it is not acceptable. That which has its stones bruised or cut or crushed or torn, you shall not offer unto to Yahuwah. Now, this is interesting as one who keeps goats. Now, it does say, do this in your land. So we're not in the land, so presumably this doesn't explicitly apply. But it's interesting, nevertheless, that as you know, when you do it to a goat, it's called a wether. In a person, it's called a eunuch. Or, of course, if you do it to a bull, it's now called a steer. But regardless, this says don't do that to any of the animals in the flock in your land. Nor from the hand of a foreigner shall you offer the bread of your Elohim of any of these, because their corruption is in them. There's a blemish in them. They shall not be accepted for you. So I guess cutting the stones off of a bull makes it a blemished animal. Then Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, and he said, when a bull or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. 7 days under its mother. It's to drink its mother's milk. But from the 8th day and thereafter, it may be acceptable for an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. And whether it's a cow or a ewe, you shall not kill both it and its young in the same day, both in one day. When you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Yahuwah, you shall sacrifice it that you may be accepted. On the same day it shall be eaten. You shall leave none of it till morning, ani Yahuwah. And you shall keep my commandments. Now that word there is ha-mishpatim, his commandments, and do them, ani Yahuwah. You shall not profane my set-apart name. And I will be hallowed among the B'nai Israel, ani Yahuwah, who hallows you. And furthermore, he says, I brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim, ani Yahuwah. Now, chapter 23 of Leviticus is probably one of the most famous in the book when it comes to an understanding of something which the horror church has completely ignored, said is done away with, and is wrong, wrong, wrong. I hope that's clear. And if it's not, he's going to make it really clear. It says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, speak unto the B'nai Israel. I'll ask it. The Hoar Church, are they part of the B'nai Israel? I've certainly seen a lot of the Christian churches say, you are not of the children of Israel. Well, I don't want to be included in the group that's not among the children of Israel. Anyway, he says, speak unto them, the children of Israel. Say to them, the appointed seasons of Yahuwah. Now let's pause, right? There's a couple things about this verse that are interesting. One, it is the third person that is used first in this phrase, and then it's first person. So listen to it and understand the implications. Speak to the children of Israel. This is what you're going to say. The appointed seasons, the moedim, plural, or moedi, they're mine. That's the possessive form. These things are of Yahuwah. It doesn't say that these are the feasts of the Jews, for example, or these are the things that were done away with. These says, these are the appointed times of Yahuwah. And you shall proclaim them to be holy convocations. Even, he says, these are my appointed seasons. I mean, that pretty well, I think, makes an end to the argument. I don't have a problem with anybody saying these are my feasts. I want to keep them. Okay, but let's be clear. They're his feasts. They're the things he said in no uncertain terms that we are to do. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath unto Yahuwah in all your dwellings. So, number one again, the Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath. He never changed it. And he says, it is a Sabbath unto Yahuwah in all your dwellings. Does that mean if we're not in the land? Yep. Is it part of all of our dwellings? It doesn't seem like there's much discussion there to me. These are the appointed seasons, again, of Yahuwah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their appointed season. So now we're going to get the three spring and the three fall feasts, starting with, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at dusk, is the Pesach Le Yahuwah, the Passover of Yah. On the 15th day of that same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yahuwah. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. So the Passover meal there between the evenings, then we get 7 days of unleavened bread. So it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. First day, you have a holy convocation. Do no manner of servile work. Notice there's a qualifier this time, and this one applies to a lot of things, but not to the weekly Sabbath, which just says no manner of work, period. You shall bring an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah 7 days. In the seventh day, also a holy convocation, you shall do no manner of servile work. All right? And then it says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, so we're going to get a different set of his Moedim. Speak unto the B'nai Israel and say to them, when you are come into the land which I give you. So this applies to the land. When you come into the land and you reap the harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the Kohen. You shall wave that sheaf before Yahuwah to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Now, we are doing this now, counting the Omer to this time of the Feast of First Fruits. And I think it's interesting. I've got a note in the margin, and this is probably one of the few places where I look at Rashi and I think, I don't understand, really. I've read the explanation. Rashi says that this has to mean the festival Sabbath, the one that applies to the Passover, not the weekly Sabbath. Well, why? It sounds like the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So I read this and say, you know, the simplest Occam's razor, the reading of this would say that it is, in fact, always going to be a first day. The weekly Sabbath is the seventh day, so the next day is the first day. On the to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. This would have been the time, obviously, when the two women went to the tomb as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, probably at dusk even, as the Sabbath was ending, and they found the empty tomb. And that would be when the time for the counting of the Omer begins. So, on the day you weigh that sheaf, you shall offer a he-lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Yahuwah. The meal offering, 2/10 part of an ephah, fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah for a sweet savor. The drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor fresh ears on this selfsame day until you have brought the offering of your el. And listen to this. It is a statute forever throughout your generation in all of your dwellings. Forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. And you shall count unto yourself from the morrow after the day of rest. See, from the morrow after the day of rest. So that is clearly the weekly Sabbath. This, I think, buttresses the point. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the waving, 7 weeks shall be complete. So 7 complete weeks. Even unto the morrow of the 7th week shall you number 50 days. So if you started on a Sunday or a first day, it ends. 7 times 7 plus 1 on a Sunday. You shall present a new meal offering unto Yahuwah. You shall bring out of your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 part of an ephah. They'll be a fine flour baked with leaven. Notice leaven this time. For first fruits unto Yahuwah. You shall present with the bread 7 lambs without blemish, first year, 1 young bull, 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering unto Yahuwah with their meal offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. You shall offer 1 he-goat for a sin offering, 2 he-lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of shalamim, of peace offerings. And the priest, the Kohen, shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yahuwah with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to Yahuwah for the Kohen. And you shall make a proclamation on that same day. There shall be a holy convocation unto you. Okay, here it is again. So this is the 50th day. And as you know, this is therefore called Pentecost in the Greek, but Shavuot in the Hebrew. You shall do no manner of servile work. Now let's pause. This is another one of those, some people call this a cooking Sabbath. It doesn't say you can't cook. You just can't do servile work, the kind of work you'd get paid for. But it is the 50th day. And it is the, as it turns out, when we read through this, it is the final of the 3 so-called spring feasts, Moedim. It is, he says, here it is again, a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. That sounds like it should still apply now. Now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of the harvest. You leave those for the poor and for the stranger, ani Yahuwah El. your L. So understand what this is. This is, if you will, the welfare plan for the of the Creator for the poor and for the stranger, for the people that are on their way through. You do not harvest the corners of the field, and you basically just go through once. And you get, whatever you can of the harvest. And anybody that's ever had a garden, you'll notice you come back the next day and, hey, there's something I missed. There's another one I missed. There's some extra grapes there, or there's some figs or whatever it may be. But you leave those. Those are for the poor and the stranger. Okay, then it says, Jehovah spoke to Moshe, and he said, speak unto the B'nai Israel, saying, okay, here come, if you will, the fall feasts, the ones that are still yet to come several months down the line. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, there shall be a solemn rest unto you, a memorial proclaimed with a blast of horns. A teruah is the Hebrew word there. Guess what it's called? Yom Teruah. A holy convocation. You shall do no manner of servile work. You shall bring an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. So let's pause. This one is kind of interesting and it's kind of unique. Seventh day of the month, first day of the month. All right, how do we know it's the first day of the month? Well, people would say nowadays we can calculate it, right? The computer will tell us. But at least my understanding, and I do not see anything where Yeshua said yay or nay, but he didn't correct them, and this seems to be the way they were doing it. They would have some signal fires set up when they knew it was about time, and when they saw the new moon, and two witnesses would confirm it, then they would blow the shofar, they would blow the teruah, and they would light the signal fires, and that would be propagated up and down the mountains. People would see it and blow the shofars, and that way the word would be transmitted, if you will, not quite electronically, but reasonably rapidly, that the new moon has been sighted. It is a beginning of months for you. And up until this point, we don't know when it's going to happen. But once it's sighted, now we have the teruah. It is a memorial proclaimed with a blast of horns, a shofar blast. You shall do no manner of servile work. Bring an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. So that is the first of the fall feasts. And colloquially, as you might guess, I think Yeshua's disciples pretty well understood this, it was called the day that no one knows the hour or the day. The moed, that no one knows the hour or the day. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe, and he said, but on the 10th day of this seventh month is the day of atonement, Yom Teruah. There is to be, again, a holy convocation unto you. Now listen to this. This is different than any of the other days that we see described among his Moedim. You shall afflict your nefesh techem. It's the plural of nefesh. So y'all's souls shall be afflicted. You shall, and what does that mean? Well, one of the things that you'll usually hear people say is, well, that seems to mean to fast. And a lot of times folks will fast from both food and water, and that certainly is a lot tougher than just going for 24 hours without food, or maybe a little longer. But afflict your soul. So I generally suggest to folks that if you're wanting to try to be obedient, pray about it. Ask, what does that mean? And you can look up and see how the words are used as well. But I won't argue with the idea that a fast is included, but some will say, I think there's more, and I won't argue that either. You shall bring an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. Well, we don't have the place to do that, but we at least can recognize that that was what would have been done. And now it says this, you shall do no manner of work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement to make atonement for you before Yahuwah your El, a day of covering, a Yom HaKippurim, the day of coverings. And this is an interesting phrasing, too, because this is the strictest language in the entire Torah when it comes to don't do any work. It simply says no manner of work, period. No work whatsoever. And if that wasn't clear enough, listen to the next verse. And, for whatsoever soul it is that shall not be afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. Now, I usually remind folks as we approach this day of Yom Teruah, this is serious. You have obviously an entire whore church that says, pay no attention to that God behind the curtain. We don't even like to look in there. We don't like to read his word. He says, this is serious. If you're not afflicting your soul, you're to be cut off from among your people. I don't know. If the whore church tells me don't worry about it, and he says you better, I'm going to listen to him. Whatsoever soul it is, he's not done yet, that does any manner of work on that same day, that soul will I destroy from among his people. Any manner of work is a result results in destruction. So, I read this, and I just don't think there's any way you can't look at this and say, this is serious stuff. This is something to pay attention to. And then he's not done. You shall do no manner of work. Oh, yeah, get this. It wasn't done away with on the cross. What? No. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. Even if we're kicked out of the land because we didn't do it. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. Shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening, sundown in other words, from evening unto evening you shall keep your Sabbath. This day of rest, and this is a very strict day of rest. No work whatsoever. Yehoah then spoke unto Moshe, and he said the following, speak unto the B'nai Israel. So what do we got? We had the first of the fall feasts, Yom Teruah, the second of the fall feasts, this day, Yom HaKippurim, or Yom Kippur. And now, speak to the children of Israel, say, on the 15th day of the seventh month. So this is the 10th day, is the Day of Atonement. 5 days later, we get to this day that begins a week that's often called the week of the wedding feast. 15th day of the seventh month is the feast of Sukkot. Sukkah is singular, Sukkot plural, tabernacles or booths, okay, a tent, a sukkah, a temporary dwelling place. So Sukkot is plural, and that's what this feast, this week is called, the Feast of Sukkot, tabernacles. For 7 days unto Yahuwah. First day, yep, a holy convocation, you shall do no manner of servile work. It is a cooking holiday, if you will. 7 days, you bring an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. The eighth day, also a holy convocation unto you, bring an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. It is a day of solemn assembly, you shall do no manner of servile work. All right, how does he wrap this up? Verse 37 says, these are the appointed seasons, the Moedi of Yahuwah, which you shall proclaim, even if the whole church doesn't, you should, proclaim to be set apart, holy convocations, to bring an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah, a burnt offering, a meal offering, sacrifice, drink offerings, each on its own day. Besides the Sabbaths of Yahuwah, the weekly Sabbaths, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, besides all your freewill offerings, which you give unto Yahuwah. How be it? On the 15th day of the seventh month, this is the beginning of that day of Sukkot, week of Sukkot, when you have gathered in the fruits of your land, you shall keep the feast of Yahuwah 7 days. First day, solemn rest. Eighth day, solemn rest. And you shall take you on the first day the fruit of goodly trees. So this is what is sometimes called in rabbinic Judaism the four species. And it's kind of interesting. It does kind of give us a clue in here. We do not see the specifics. As you know, the rabbis will tell you that there is a set of specifics. So one of them is called an etrog, and several other things, willows and palm branches. We know, too, that the palm branches certainly see some references in the apostolic writings as well. So take the fruit of goodly trees, branches from palm trees, boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before Yahuwah your El 7 days. Now, this is a word that I note when we see other places also, when it comes to this Feast of Sukkot, this word, simcha, joy, rejoice, variations on the simcha theme, appear over and over again. And I'll admit this time, because it is so joyful, it's at the Feast of Ingathering. It's kind of a harvest-like thing. It's after the summer, and it is. It's a time of joyfulness. Certainly the reference to the wedding feast, I think, becomes very clear as well. So if there is anything that resonates with me about this time of Sukkot, is this idea that it is joyful. It's not a request. He says, you shall do it. You rejoice before Yahuwah 7 days. You shall keep a feast unto Yahuwah 7 days in the year. Uh-oh, here it is. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall keep it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths, the Sukkot, the temporary dwellings, 7 days. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths, that your generations, your toldot, may know that I made the B'nai Israel to dwell in booths. So in other words, the thing that is being memorialized here, among other things, I think we're looking ahead as well as looking back, because there is a certain symmetry in the Creator's plan and His reasons for telling us to keep on doing this. At least it's a remembrance here that they dwelled in booths. They dwelled in tents. They had these temporary dwellings for 40 years. when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, Ani Yahuwah Elohim. And it says, Moshe declared unto the B'nai Israel the Moedi, the appointed seasons of, no, not the Lord, not the Jews, they're his. The appointed seasons of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And with that, the Torah portion ends, and I guess I would say that's pretty clear, I hope, because when it comes to things like this that we have been lied to about, this is probably pretty close to the top of the heap.